here at chapter 5, verse 8 through 11, or 8 through 10, really, this will probably be the last sermon of 1 Peter. So I don't know if you're happy or sad. So I feel like it was pretty good up to chapter 5. Chapter 5, I really feel like I've struggled with, but I'm hopeful I can kind of recover today. But like I said, I may try to do something on 12 through 14, but I haven't decided. But I think either way, we will be moving to 1 Corinthians next week or the week after. So we'll go through that study, which will probably be there for a while, called James and 1 Peter are both kind of short. So anyway, but we're in chapter 5. We're looking here at the last sermon in the book of 1 Peter. And I want to look here at how to have victory over Satan. You know, let's read verse 8. It's a very popular verse. And it says this: "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." You know, that's a very popular verse. We say it a lot of time. I've alluded to that verse in many sermons. But you know, when we talk about Satan, when I say something like, you know, victory over Satan, you know, be honest, I'm gonna be honest with you, I feel just a touch silly. You say, silly? You know, and I think it's because, I wrote one thing down, number one, because of Hollywood. Hollywood has made ghosts and demons and spiritual things all about, you know, just fake. You know what I mean? I don't believe in ghosts, okay? Okay, it just says, you know, I don't believe in ghosts. I do believe in demons, though, okay? I believe in Satan. But so many times, because we've seen it on Hollywood, and we've seen demon possession, which I don't watch them type movies, to be honest with you. I don't personally think they're that good for you. I don't think that you have any business watching them, I mean, personally. But I can't say that necessarily it's wrong. But anyway, that's a whole other sermon there. But because we see these things, and I know there's so many things that are fake, sometimes I think, I begin to think that Satan's not real. You know, and here's the second thing. Because if you're like me, you know, I don't want to become guilty of blaming Satan for everything. You know, if I do something wrong, well, like the scapegoat, well, Satan made me do it. The devil made me do it. And because I don't want that, I don't want to be that type of person. I don't want to be the type of person who blames Satan for every failure I have. Okay? So, because of that, a lot of times we kind of shy, at least I do, shy away from talking about Satan. But here's the thing, Satan really is real. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. Okay, that's it. The Bible talks clearly about Satan. And Satan is real. And here's the thing, Satan is attacking. Satan does attack. You know, right now I've talked to a few of y'all, and she sang that song, and so right now Satan attacks in different ways. He's going to tempt some of you to do something wrong. But you know what he's also going to do? Some of y'all are going through storms, and he's going to tempt you to be discouraged. He's going to do his best to get you defeated. Satan will come by and attack you to say, what you need to do is you need to give up. I've been that way. And sometimes don't take much. I'll be transparent. Last week, because I was sick last week, and I thought I was going to see Jesus after that stomach virus, you know. So, I mean, I thought I was knocking on heaven's door, you know. You know, and, you know, so, but even before that, I'm not going to lie, my sermon wasn't that great. I didn't feel like, even when I built it, but it was the best I could do. And then I preached, I'm really not sure what I said last week, to be honest with you. I'm kind of lightheaded, you know. But, you know, I got home, I got discouraged. I mean, that just was not good. And it doesn't take much for Satan to come in there and say, you know what, just give it up. Just quit. You know, here's the thing, Satan is smart. I mean, he's real, he's tricky, and he knows exactly what to do to attack you. You know, for some of you, he's not gonna, you know, tempt you with, you know, drugs and things like that we always think about. He may tempt you in little things like, say, hey, give up, just quit. So here's the thing, Satan is very much, and I'm gonna tell you something, he's a lot smarter than you are. So with that being said, how do we have victory over Satan? Satan does attack. Satan does cause us problems. How do we have victory? Well, you know, in chapter 5, just in case you want to know, they have been persecuted. Nero is dipping Christians in oil and using human lanterns and feeding them to animals, and they're being persecuted. They definitely want to quit. In chapter 5 here, we talk about the third sermon in chapter 5. First sermon was leadership. For you to make it, we got to have good leadership. And basically what I'm talking about, when we need leaders, you need to be a leader. Last week, I kind of hacked through it, but basically humility. We need to have humility, you know. And then this week, we need to be careful. Okay, and that's the first point here, is that we need to be aware of Satan. And so, and the first thing we need to do, number one, is we need to be careful. How are we going to have victory over Satan? We need to be careful. And that's what verse 8, that's what he's saying here. If I could say one thing, and Peter is screaming to the top of his lungs in verse 8, saying, be careful when it comes to Satan. So why is he saying that? Well, here's the first thing here, is we have a tendency to be careless. I talk about the example here. Peter is the one writing it. Peter is the one saying, be careful. I thought about what Jesus told Peter in Luke 22:1. Jesus said this, and the Lord said to Simon, by the way, he went back from the name Peter to Simon, and said, behold, Satan has desired to have you and may sift you as wheat. Satan was going to attack Peter. And here's what I want you to understand. Satan is going to attack you today. Well, maybe not today, actually, but he's going to attack you sometime in your life. But here's the thing. Peter was careless. And Luke 22, verse 34, you know the context. You know, Jesus is in the garden praying, and he's got the three disciples there with him, the closest one. And he says this, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He actually warned Peter. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And then they get to the garden, and he says again, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Peter was instructed. Peter heard what he said, Satan's going to attack you. Satan's going to do his best to get you to deny me. And what does Peter do? Well, we see Peter in the garden sleeping. He didn't listen to Jesus at all. He was careless. He was careless. Peter ended up denying Jesus because he was careless. He wasn't careful. And before we hammer Peter too hard, let's remember that we're just as careless as Peter is. Many times in our lives, when it comes to Satan, we are careless. And I'll get to that later here in just a minute. But here's the thing. We need to be careful. Because we have a tendency to be careless. Like that, maybe you've been saved for a while. And maybe you know the Bible. Maybe you've done great spiritually. We can become careless. I can give you any illustration, really. But I'll talk about, I used to love knives. I still do like knives. But I used to always get a knife. And it was a joke. I used to always cut myself pretty bad. I used to play with knives. I had a knife, it was an automatic one. And this wasn't my fault, but it flipped open. And I stabbed my hand. And it bled. It's bled everywhere. So I put that knife up. But we start playing with knives. And at least I would play with them. And I always cut myself. Why? Because I become familiar. I become careless. And I'm afraid what happens, we know about Satan, we know about temptation, we know about spiritual things, but we become careless spiritually in our life. Here's the thing, we don't need to do that. We need to be careful because we have a tendency to become careless. And by the way, here are two signs that you're being careless. Number one, you know it all. And number two, you don't need any help. That was Peter all day long. Peter knew it all and didn't need any help. My hearing that we see that we have a tendency to be careless through the example, but also through the exhortation. Look here. Peter is an old man now. He's learned from his old mistake. He knows that he has a tendency to be careless, and he exhorts them to be careful. That's really what we see here in verse 8. Two words. Number one, sober. And both of these are imperatives. The words that be sober, it means to be free from the influences of intoxication. It implies the ideal of watchfulness. Well, if you ever watch a little kid, I've had kids, and I've seen a little toddler, I remember being around the house, and if they're basically on the couch, especially when they can't walk yet, and they'll be on the couch, you know, and the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm making sure that they don't fall off the back of it, or on the front of it, you know, and you've got that paranoid, like, you know, you're trying to catch them, you're watching. That's what he's saying, you're supposed to be watchful. You're supposed to be sober. But then he says, to make sure you get the point across, he used the word vigilant. He said, be vigilant. That means to watch, to refrain from sleep. I always wondered Peter thinking about that night in the garden when he was sleeping. He said, don't sleep spiritually. He said, be careful. Peter is commanding him to be careful. He's commanding him to be alert. And he's telling him to be careful and watchful spiritually. In essence, he's saying, wake up, pay attention. We're involved in a spiritual battle. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all view that? Each and every day, when you turn on TV, when you turn on the radio, when you let whatever, you know, whatever you decide to do, entertainment-wise, do you think that way? Do you think, hey, we're in a battle? Here's the thing, to have victory over Satan, you have to be careful. See, here's the thing, we're careful about everything. We're careful about where we drive, we're careful about what we eat, we're careful about where we stay if we go out of town. We're careful about so many things, but when it comes to Satan, we're not careful. We're not careful. We swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. Most of the TV shows, we don't ask. Do you ask Steve when you watch the TV show? It's just really good for me. I mean, if a TV show promotes adultery, fornication, cheating, lying, greed, then I can tell you God's not in that. Who is? Satan. If you listen to a song, I'll be honest with you. I grew up listening to country music, and that's still one thing I like. I struggle with that sometimes. But you know, most country songs, they talk about cheating on somebody, drinking, getting drunk, and all that. Do you really think that God's in that? I can tell you who's in that. Satan. But how many times do we just, woo, man, it's so great. What is it doing for you spiritually? Are you careful? You watch that movie. You know, like we always want to say, don't watch things with nudity in it. I'm to the point where, don't watch things that promote adultery. That's probably what we see now more than anything on TV, is that adultery is the way to go. But do you think about it? Because what you watch, after a while, you become desensitized to it. But let me ask you, how careful are you? See, I think really what's happened, we've become careless spiritually. So we have a tendency to be careless, so we need to be careful, but we also have a tendency, letter B here, to underestimate the enemy. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, there's two mistakes about Christians when it comes to about talking about Satan. We either joke about him or we ignore him. That's what most people do. We either joke about Satan or we ignore him. Here's the thing. Satan is nobody to ignore. We should never underestimate the enemy. Here's why. Number one, Satan is against you. It says here in verse 8, it says that because your adversary, you know, we always like to read this verse, but what does that mean? Adversary means this. And it comes from two words. Anti, which you should know what that means, against, and another Greek word that means to cause a fault at law. It's originally somebody's opponent in court. So basically what that means, the adversary means, originally it meant this. When you're in court trying to win a battle, it's the other guy who's against you. He's doing everything he can for you not to win your case. That's Satan. We shouldn't underestimate Satan because Satan is against you. Number two, Satan is aggressive. That's what it says here. Next thing it says here, and it says, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion. He says here that he's a lion. And what does it mean? What does roaring mean? Well, I looked it up. What most people said was, it's a lion who's roaring because he's hungry. You ever been around somebody who's hungry? When my wife is hungry, look out. She roars, you know. Actually, it's probably more me, really. But you ever been that way? You ever been hungry? So I do. When I get hungry, I get ill. Like the Snickers commercial. That's how that lion is. This lion roaring. It's not just a lion that you see. It's a lion that you see who's hungry, who's starving. That's Satan. What is a lion going to do if he's hungry? He's going to be very aggressive. See, we don't need to underestimate Satan because he is against you. He is aggressive. He's hungry. He's wanting something. But then number three, he's active. He says here, and a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That word seeking is a participle in the Greek, which means a continuous action. That means he's against you. He's aggressive. And right now, he's out and about right now. He's walking around. Satan don't take any vacation days. He's out and about trying to get people to fall. And then fourthly, he annihilates. He don't keep any prisoners. That's what it says here. It says here, seeking whom he may devour. The word devour in the Greek, it means to drink down. It means to swallow up. You never had a drink, and you drink, and somebody says, man, you just killed that. Man. That's what he's saying. He's saying he's gonna consume you. I love chocolate milk. It's like getting a bottle of chocolate milk. Something down here, and I forgot what brand it is. It's the best chocolate milk ever. I've never had it. I can't remember the brand now. The best. It's like when I get one of them. I'll go sometimes leave and go down there and get one and come back. I mean, it's like not even 100 yards. And it's gone when I get back. Sometimes I have to wait to open it while I have it when I get to the office. That's what Satan. Satan's there. He's ready to swallow you up. He will annihilate you. But here's the problem. What we do, though, we underestimate him. I think when you sit around and think, we think Satan is dressed up in a red suit with a pitchfork and just laugh. And we think he's an idiot. He's far from it. We underestimate him. That's why we're not careful. Satan wants to swallow you up. He wants to destroy everything that you're doing. Satan has annihilated marriages. He annihilated families. He annihilated people's lives. He annihilated joy. He annihilated happiness. And he gets to us sometimes. Have you ever, all these marriages, have you ever had a great day with your spouse? Don't happen much in my house, but I'm messing. I'm going to get in trouble for that, I know. I get in trouble all the time for joking. Just a joke, okay? Just a joke. But I've been probably guilty of this. You ever having a perfect day, and you just say something to mess everything up, and later you ask yourself, why did I say that? I mean, I don't even admit it later. I never tell her, because she says I don't apologize. I don't. You know, I'm thinking, I'll be sitting on the couch thinking later, like, why did I say that? I had no reason to say it. I do believe that's Satan. Satan wants to destroy everything. He wants to destroy even the good day that you have with your spouse. He wants to destroy everything. Everything, Satan. He literally there advising you to do whatever will annihilate you. He is literally the person whom he advised you cannot trust. Yet we fall for his advice just like Eve did in the garden. Why did Eve fall for Satan? Or take Satan's advice? Because she underestimated him. Here's the thing. What we do so many times, though, is we make a mistake of thinking he's not real. I want you to understand here. Satan is real. And secondly, we think he's really not as bad as we think he is. We say things like, well, Satan just misunderstood. Satan's not that bad. No, Satan is. Satan is. And what we need to do here is we need to be careful. That's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, if you want to have victory over Satan, he's telling these people who are being persecuted, he says, Satan's going to attack. And what you need to do, you need to be careful. Number two, you need to be confrontational. Here's the exhortation. Look at verse 9. Who resists steadfast. And that kind of don't make a lot of sense to me. So in the ESV, it says resist him. So basically he's saying, you got the devil like a roaring lion. He's saying resist him. Resisting Satan is a command. It's actually a decisive command. It's a command to make a decision to once and for all say, I'm going to resist Satan. And it literally means, resist literally means this, to stand up against. Here's the thing, we are commanded to stand up against Satan. Just a little side note, Andy Rogers said this, when it comes to the temptation of the flesh, we're told to flee. Okay, when it comes to the temptation of the world, we're told to have faith. But when it comes to the temptation of Satan, we're told to stand up and fight. What we're to do to have victory over Satan and to stand up to him. But here's the thing. Here's the reality. Many of us don't. Why? Think about this. Well, we're told to fight Satan. I'm going to tell you how to fight Satan in a minute, okay? So I know that's what you want to know. I know you're on this edge of your seat right now and want to know. Okay, this is not one of these hooping and hollering sermons today. The more you think, you got to think today. Many of us don't want to fight Satan. Why? Well, because if it's a fight Satan, that means that you're going to have to possibly change what you listen to, what you watch, what you say, how you act, where you go, who you hang out with. Many of us, in reality, don't want to confront the devil because we like what Satan has to offer. We like what Satan has to offer, and I'll prove my point here in just a minute. I'll show you exactly what I mean by letter B, the explanation. This is what we know, the exhortation, we're supposed to stand up to the devil. We're supposed to fight him. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, let's continue reading. Most times the Bible answers your own question if you keep reading. And it says this. In verse 9, let me find my place. Whom resisted steadfast in the faith. There it is. We almost missed it. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. The answer is that we will be steadfast in the faith. The meaning, John MacArthur says this. The way we resist the devil is not with special formulas or words. But I will say this. It's a little side because you want to know more about me. I have woke up sometime, been scared to death. I guess it's a nightmare or something. And I felt like Satan was right there. And I have said, blood of the lamb, you know, I've said that. I'll keep saying that, you know. But that's not really how you fight Satan. You know. It's not with special formulas or words directed at him and his demons, but by remaining firm in the Christian faith. It means to continue to live in accord with the truth of God's word. Think about it. That's all Eve had to do when the serpent was there. She said, Satan came up and said, Eve, you can eat the fruit. It's not going to hurt you. At that point, she could have resisted Satan by doing what? By obeying God. By standing firm. That's what we did when we were, I bought once or twice. Didn't do that good. I was outweighed by 40 pounds by the guy I was fighting. So I thought he did pretty good, actually. But, you know, what do you do when you're boxing? Stand firm. If they hit you, you come back. That's what happens. Satan attacks us, and we go, I'm doing. No, what we do is say, no, Satan, I'm going to keep obeying the word of God. That's it. That's the key. That is the key. And to continue in biblical doctrine. John MacArthur said this again, as a believer knows sound doctrine and obeys God's truth, Satan is withstood. The way to withstand the devil and continue to live the word. That means that we take the Bible and we apply it to every area of our life. That means that we say to we withstand the devil in our marriage when we say this, I'm going to follow the word of God in my marriage. That means when I want to be selfish and the devil says, do your own thing, that means I say no. And the word of God says, I'm supposed to love my wife and myself. That means I say, that's what I'm going to do, Satan. You're not going to listen to me. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to follow the word of God. That means that we take the word of God and we stand up to the devil in our entertainment by saying, when we turn the TV on, we say, what does God want me to watch? What will the word of God allow me to watch? When we turn the radio on, we say, you know, not what I want to hear. We say, what? Or not what Satan says. You know, we say, what does the word of God say I should listen to? That's how we withstand the devil. And that's why most of us don't want to do it. Most of us don't want to fight the devil. Because most of us don't really want to take the word of God and put it in every aspect of our life. That means when we're at work and we're joking around with a buddy, that means we don't laugh at the same thing. We say, what would God laugh at? That means we take a stand and say, no, that's not right. See, that's like we don't really want to fight the devil. Oh, we all want some special formula. You know, kind of like, you know, I'm not, you know, kind of like Catholic or something. Like, oh. No, that's all easy. But what it really is, the way to fight the devil is by obedience to the word of God. It's by saying, we're going to live according to the word of God. That's how we do it. That's it. So we see the exhortation. We see the explanation. And then number three, we see the encouragement. The encouragement. You know, here's the reality. Satan is tough to resist. I mean, he is good at tempting us with exactly what we want. He is. He's good. And if you're already thinking about something, you know, I mean, you know, like when you're with your buddy or something, like I used to ride four wheeling a lot, you know, that mud hole, and you're thinking about, can I make it? And that buddy over there is like, yeah, you got it. Go. You know, they don't care if you tie your four wheeler up or not. That's how Satan is. Satan's that person, you know, that person who's saying, you're sitting there thinking about it. I want to do that. Or you may be sitting there saying, man, I want to give up. Satan's the one who's going to be there saying, yeah, do it. It'll be the best thing you ever did. hey, Satan's good. He's good. And it's tough sometimes for us to resist him. It's easy for us just to sometimes want to throw in the towel. There's no doubt that these believers would come to that point. Think about the context again. They were being persecuted. They're being killed. And this is what Peter says in verse 9. And it says, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What is he saying? He's giving a pep talk. He basically said this, you're not alone. You are not alone in this battle. There are other people who are going through it as well. And that's what I want to understand. That's what I want to understand. You're not alone. And if Satan's tempting you, and it is tough sometimes, it is tough to do what's right. We can act like it is, oh, well, I love following Jesus. Well, yeah, but it's tough sometimes. It's tough sometimes to do right. I mean, Paul even said that. What I know to do, I don't do. What I know not to do, I do. It's tough. But I want you to understand this. You're not alone. You're not alone. Here's the thing we need, and that's what Satan will try to do anything he can to make you feel like you're all alone. But you're not. Hey, here's the thing, another thing too. If that's the case, then that's why we need to encourage each other. That's one important reason to come to church. Because you get other people can encourage you, and you can encourage other people. To have victory, we ought to confront Satan, and we do that by being steadfastly obeying the Word of God in all areas of our life. Number 3. Well, to have victory over Satan, be careful, be confrontational, and finally, be confident. That was in verse 10, and we're not gonna get into this very deep because I knew that I'd be short on time, but it says here, but the God of all grace who has called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, here's the thing. Satan is great at making us doubt God. You ever thought about that? Satan is great at making us doubt God. That's exactly what he did to Eve. He made Eve doubt God. He made Eve think that God was withholding something. He said, no, you'll be like God. Which is partly true, because you'll know good and evil like God did. But Satan got Eve to doubt God, and that's exactly what he does to us. But Peter said this, you need to be confident. Letter A, be confident in God's provisions. Satan will tell you over and over, God can't take care of you. But he can. That's what he says here. Peter said this, but God of all grace. Mark Pickerly said this. This statement assures that the Christian, that God is all the resources needed for perseverance, even in persecution. He's the source, the possessor, and the giver of all grace. And that Satan will try to overcome you by getting you to doubt that God can take care of you. Hey, you ever been sick before? What do we always do? We start worrying. Why? And it's true. And Satan starts saying things like, God can't take care of this. God, this problem is bigger than God. That's what Satan does so many times. Here's the thing. God will take care of you, and don't believe that. Be confident. Letter B, be confident in God's presence. Satan will tell you that God isn't there. Verse 10, it says, who has called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ after you have suffered a while to make you perfect. I'm not going to read all the quotes because y'all probably don't care about them anyway. This means this. If we're going to be there with God in heaven one day, what they talk about is that if he's going to be there at the end, do you think he's going to leave you in the middle? He was there at the start. He's going to be there at the end. God's not going to leave you. Here's the thing. Satan will try to make you feel alone and try to get you to give up, but here's what you need to do. Be confident and remember that God is there. We talked about that last week, about the footprints in the sand on Sunday night. Letter C, be confident in God's plan. Satan will try to get you to think that God don't know what he's doing. Everybody know, God, you know, maybe something don't go the way he wants to. Maybe somebody does get sicker. Maybe someone dies. And we'll say that, well, God just don't know what he's doing. So that's what Satan's going to be there saying, God don't know what he's doing. that joker over there, I'm not probably disrespectful, but Satan will be like, that joker up there, he don't know what he's doing. Now, we would never say that, but that's what we believe many times. We sit around worrying, like we're saying basically, God don't know what he's doing. God just don't know what he's doing. But he does know what he's doing. And Peter's saying, be confident. Remember the context. Be confident. I mean, think about it. If you had to watch your wife be burned as a human lantern, it probably would mean to say, God don't know what he's doing. That's literally what was happening, or what was going to happen. But Peter said, look, be confident in God's plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. And that's what it says there in verse 10. He said, while you have suffered, he will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm not going to go through all four of them, but I'll read one quote. Together, these verbs provide an appealing picture of one who is finished work, mature, strong, well-grounded, and solid footing. John MacArthur said this. These four words speak of the strength and resolution God is working through the Christian struggle to produce strength of character. Basically this. God knows what he's doing. When God's doing, you're going to be better off. Maybe not physically, but spiritually you will be. And that's what Satan's going to do. Satan will do his best to get you to doubt that God knows what he's doing. But here's the application. Ready? Be confident. There's probably no telling how many people have give up on God because they were not confident that in God. One part, Dr. Tom Farrell, the independent evangelist, you might have heard of him. I used to have the CD, I lost it. But he said, Satan's greatest tool is discouragement. Satan said, if he can't get you with anything else, with a lust or this or that, that he will get you with discouragement. You know why? Because we start doubting God. Hey, here's the thing. We need to be confident in God's plan. And the piano player comes up, and we begin to conclude. I want you to know this. Satan is a serious matter. Satan not some hocus-pocus thing on Hollywood screen that make people all scary for a little bit. Satan really is real. Satan's real. Satan not a Disney movie. Hell, he's not a Disney character. Get that what I should say. Satan not a Disney character. That's just made up by Hollywood. He is really real. Hey, here's the thing. If he got like a third of the angels to fall, don't you think he can get you to fall? I think Satan, I'm telling you, Satan is a lot smarter than you ever give credit for. Here's the thing. To have victory, we need to do three things. Be careful, be confrontational, and be confident. And if we stand at our feet with our heads bowed, and the piano player playing, if God has spoken to you, maybe you need to come down here. Maybe, and I will say in this congregation, one of the things I know that Satan's going to attack is Satan's going to use discouragement. I can name five people right now probably in this room who are going through situations. It's just physical situation, sicknesses, and I know Satan's going to do his best to get you to doubt him. Don't do that. Don't let that happen. Be careful. Be on guard with that. And they play, if God spoke to your heart, I simply want you to have time to talk to him.